Yesterday, I got to sit down with my Facebook friend, Neil Pollack, and he is bills himself or whatever as the greatest living American writer. And you can tell now that almost embarrassed him. But anyway, it was very fun to sit down with him and hear what he had to say about everything, including the coronavirus.
I'm just so happy to be on the phone with the greatest living American writer.
Oh, yeah. It's a privilege. I understand it's a privilege, but, you know, we're all in this together.
Yes, definitely. And so I'm talking to Neil Pollack, who has had one of the most interesting lives that, you know, anybody's ever had. And I just want to hear about, you know, I can't even think to be able to talk about all of it because you've just had so many interesting things. But I just want to start by saying that, in addition to everything else, you're a three-time Jeopardy champ. Is that right?
Yes. I was on Jeopardy in 2013.
Okay.
When we were, you know, back when we were still allowed to leave the house.
And you live in Austin. Is that right?
I live in Austin, Texas. Correct.
Okay.
In an increasingly small corner of Austin, Texas.
Definitely. Yeah, it's just in the house, I think is how we say that now.
Yeah, a house, and also, I've ventured a few miles outside of my immediate neighborhood to run errands and walk my dog
in the last
6 weeks. Yeah.
Well, you know, in the middle of everything else, you've released several books, you've released podcasts, and you've had just an extremely interesting life. We have many mutual friends, and I just thought that you'd be fun to get on the podcast. And I guess where I'd like to start, because there's no end to the topics, but my question is, how is your relationship with Amazon now?
That's an interesting question. My relationship with Amazon is pretty much as a consumer at this point. I mean, they did publish a few of my novels. I had
right.
a period there where they were publishing, you know, they published several of my books in a 3-year period, but then that contract ended. And so I don't really hear from them much. Occasionally I'll get an email from them that like my books are going on some 99-cent promotion or whatever, and, you know, and then occasionally I'll get like a small very small residual check because none of my books
right.
ever really sold all that well. So I don't really have a relationship with Amazon. They're just, you know, I use them to order essential goods at this point.
Well, who are you published by now? What is the best way to
well,
say
yeah.
that now?
Yeah, I have a book coming out in June about my marijuana addiction, recovery
right.
from marijuana addiction, and it's being published by Central Recovery Press, which is an independent publishing concern out of Las Vegas that, you know, deals with addiction and recovery literature, and they've been very enthusiastic and really fun to work with. So, you know, I'm hoping that I know that these are crazy times.
Right.
And it's a hard time to publish a book, but people are still doing it. And, you know, I think the book is good, and I think it could be, addiction is not any less pressing of a topic now than it was before the COVID-19 crisis. So I'm hoping God knows marijuana use is through the freaking roof. So, you know, I think I used to see the pic. I mean, I don't know. I don't personally, you know, have access to it, and I don't live in a state that where it's legal. But you see
right.
the lines, you see the photos of the lines, and the industry is actually booming. So
right.
So you know, so I'm hoping that you know, I'm hoping that we can reach some people, and they've been really great to work with. They have a great plan for me, so I was hoping it continues.
I really have enjoyed. I listened to a podcast that you did about marijuana, and that was super interesting. And so, you know, if we want to talk about that, let's talk about your addiction and how it was discovered and how it ended and everything else.
Well, I mean, you know, it kind of crept up on me over a period of years. I was, you know, I started, I didn't do drugs when I was a teenager, or even really in college, but I started in my 20s. I was self-employed then, or at least I worked at home then, as I do now. I've been working at home for the last 25 years, so the crisis hasn't really caught me unawares. The addiction just kind of built steam over the years, and really kind of took hold in my 30s, and then I became a daily, if not minute by minute, user of marijuana. I was high all the time, and then when my mother passed away in 2017, very suddenly, and very traumatically, and I was there when it happened, and it was not pretty, and it was hard for me, and I just kind of spiraled for the next 6 to 8 months, and then I hit rock bottom. I had a big public, meltdown when I was wasted on drugs, and I, you know, just kind
at
of
the World Series, right?
At the World Series, yeah. I was something did not go according to plan, and I did not respond like a sober person, and I almost got arrested.
Right.
It was a wake up call. Finally, someone dumped a bucket of water on my head, right? And, I just quit. And I started going to recovery meetings and working with sponsors and just cleaning up my act and doing taking a good, long, hard look at myself.
Right.
And that was 2.5 years ago, and I've been sober ever since. And, I have to say, Dale, it's been really helpful during this crisis to be sober. I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not an alcoholic. I have had the occasional glass of wine with dinner. I won't lie. But in terms of like drug sober, I mean, it's been really helpful because it's allowed me to, absorb what's happening with a little bit more equanimity, and to be able to make better decisions and sort of be temperamentally calmer too, and to be a little bit more stalwart for my family and to, be more helpful and, not freak out as much as I otherwise would have. I mean, I wouldn't say I haven't freaked out at all. I mean, I'm only human, but, I've been a little bit more stable than I otherwise would have. So, I'm very happy, to have found sobriety at this time. I can only imagine what it would have been like if this had happened 3 years ago.
Well,
me,
I mean,
personally.
That's part of the deal is that, in the middle of everything else, you've got yoga and all the stuff you do with that. And, you just have like a little bit of everything going.
I have tools, I do. Yeah, you're right. I do practice yoga pretty much every day, and I have a meditation protocol that I can follow if things get really, really rough. And, so I have physical and mental health going for me. And, I'm also fortunate in that I have a job. I added a pop culture magazine called Book and Film Globe. And so, that gives me something to do during the day. It was the same thing I was doing during the day before, but it gives me purpose. And it gives me an income and, I'm fortunate. So far, I've been quite fortunate. But I recognize that not everyone can say the same. To say the least, not everyone can say the same. So it's like, maintaining sobriety is super important through all that because I need to be able to adapt to things that they change in my life, and I need to also be able to, be useful and helpful to other people if the need requires.
That's probably one of the things. I would think in the process of even having to say that, marijuana is an addiction for you, that's probably in and of itself like an interesting concept, because I would have to imagine a lot of people almost think it's a joke.
Yeah. It's funny that you should say that because if somebody announced on Facebook that they were an alcoholic, No one would be like, well, you better have a drink then, Whereas
exactly.
I announced that I'm American. People make comments all the time to me like, boy, I bet you wish you were smoking weed now, huh?
Right.
Like, no, I don't. That's the point, or I'll be like, it just makes no sense. Oh, I bet you wish you were you were still snorting coke. I'm like, no, you know, they wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say that about anything else. I mean,
right.
I understand that it's fun to get high, and that, like, for the vast majority of people who use it, marijuana is just kind of an amusement, you know. But for thousands, if not millions of people, it's also something that really impairs their ability to function normally.
And a lot of people, I imagine, don't even really realize it in that sense of knowing that it's an addiction and something you can be addicted to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not bad. It's not advertised as something that you can be addicted to. It's advertised as a health food, as an essential business, as something that you need in order to function. It's almost like a smokable vitamin, you know.
Right.
And you know, and I'm just not. I am. Again, like, you know, just like I can have a glass of wine, I know there are people out there who can take a puff off a joint or a vape pen at the end of the day just to chill, and they'll be fine, you know.
Right.
Maybe it helps with sleep. Maybe it, you know, just it makes their daily government mandated walk more fun, you know. But for other people, you know, I know because I was that person. There are people who are just like sitting there on the couch just vaping all day, wasted, you know, and doing nothing.
Yeah.
These are the times for that. And, you know, people are, you know, and, it, you know, it's not, you know, it doesn't lead to much. It just leads to more pot, you know.
Right.
So I can't worry about other people, but I you know, everyone's got to kind of chart their own path and make their own decisions. But, you know, I'm hoping that I can be a resource to, if people think they do have a problem, and again, not everybody who smokes weed has a problem, but if people think they do, that I could maybe be a resource to help them,
right,
help sort of guide them out of the thicket.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's interesting to wonder what's next for you.
I don't know. I mean, what's next for me? I don't know. I mean, I didn't really predict that six weeks ago that that I would not be allowed to leave the house, and that oil would be negative $40 a barrel, and that, you know, you'd have to wait an hour to get into the grocery store, and then
yes,
you know, there'd be no baseball, and 30 million people would be out of work, and you know, there, you know, and there'd be like endless death and disease and poverty in the developed world. That wasn't on my 2020 bingo chart.
Yeah.
So what's next for me? I mean, I hope that I can. I love my website that I do. I love Book and Film Globe. I hope I can continue to develop that and keep it going. I hope there's still entertainment for us to write about.
Right.
I have a book coming out in June, so you know that's next for me. And then after that, I don't know. I don't know, and it, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Well,
I dispute your contention that I've had one of the most fascinating lives in history. I think, you know, Marco Polo would like to have a word with you. Or like Josephine Baker. I think there are other choices for that honor. But I seem to have this ability to always evolve into something interesting, you know. I'll figure something out.
Yeah.
But I really I'm just grateful to sort of be sober and to have a lovely relationship with my wife and to have my health and to have enough food to eat and the resources to buy it at the moment. I know that sounds crazy, but like literally, like I found myself saying this weekend, I was like, I am grateful for this nice pair of blue socks, you know. This is a nice pair of socks, and I enjoy wearing them when I have to wear the socks. You know, I mean, it's literally at that point where it's like, you know, it's like if I wake up and the day is sunny, and the air is mild,
right?
I'm like, oh, this is a blessing, you know.
Well, you know, and you live
it took a global crisis to get to that point, but you know, thank God I'm still okay.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I definitely am learning too, because, you know, I ended up, I had about four strokes last fall. And so, you know, I'm not terribly old. I mean, I'm 47. I'm younger than you. And, you know, just so that experience has allowed me to understand just how lucky I am. And, you know, it's good to be alive, I got to tell you.
No, I mean, I mean, there's no doubt that things are crummy right now. They're as bad as they've ever been in my lifetime, you know. There's no question about it. And yours too.
Right.
You know, this is the most dire situation I have ever seen. You know, well worse than, you know, we both lived through quite a bit of quite a few societal ups and downs.
Right.
But this is, you know, this is way beyond anything that I could have imagined. So, you know, so I don't, for some reason, I don't think the troubles are over soon, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the things that we've got to figure out. But again,
it's not up to me. Like, I can only, like, take care of my own little corner, and same for you, you know, you know, and we just have to hope that, you know, we have to just do our bit and hope that things improve and, you know, I don't know, but I guess what I'm saying, so what's next for me? I'm going to live in the reality that is presented to me, and hopefully I'll still be able to keep writing and, you know, chit chatting and helping people.
You have a lot of fun on
Facebook,
and, you know,
I'm so grateful. I have a book coming out. I mean, that's such a nice thing to be able to say right now.
Right. Definitely. Well, you know, and I like you on Facebook. You have a lot of interesting stuff, and, you know, I just enjoy your personality a ton. It's fun.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Dale. That's very nice to hear. You know, it's I try to, you know, I mean, I have my opinions, and not everyone agrees with them all the time, but I try to stay amusing, you know. I do, you know, it's weird. Like, I just think these are very strange times. Like, you know, on the one hand, we're in this, like, horrific global public health emergency that we all need to take very seriously. And on the other hand, like, there's this incredible government encroachment on our personal freedoms.
Right. Yeah, and, you know,
which we also need to take seriously. It's like, how do you balance that? How do you balance that? You know, it's like, it's amazing to me, like, how some people are totally concerned about one of them and not concerned at all about the other. And I feel like my job as a writer and a humorist, I guess you could call it that, is to sort of find the comedy in this dystopian nightmare that we find ourselves, you know.
Well, and just as a last thought, what are the things would you tell the people in the world today in the 2020, in the middle of the global pandemic? What would you say?
I don't know. Probably to keep exercise. Don't forget to exercise. Take your vitamins. And I don't know, like, really, but I don't know. But I think the most important thing, and I know this sounds crazy, is try to, like, not judge people who have different politics than you so much.
Right.
You know?
That's a good thought.
If you're a liberal or a lefty, try not to wish death upon Trump supporters. And if you're a Trump supporter, try not to wish death upon people who aren't. You know, I mean, politics aren't the most. I mean, my father was a Fox News watching Republican, and, you know, he passed away. You know, but, you know, I didn't say it was because he watched Fox News.
Right.
You know, I find that kind of a. I find that kind of distressing, you know?
Definitely.
And, you know, I mean, yeah. So that's what I would say, is like, come on, people, politics aren't that important.
It's not as important as talking to the greatest living American writer. And so I'm glad I got to do that today. And so
talking to anybody actually. Is
yes. Talking. You know, for being
talking.
Heard. That sounds great. So thank you very much for spending some time with me, and thank you.
Yeah.
It was great.
Thank you for caring, Dale, and good luck. Stay alive.
All right. Okay. Fine.
All right. Later.
Visit DaleWileyShow.com to learn more. Visit DaleWileyShow.com to hear more interviews.